Okay, so let's start. So we have our Mishnah on Beis Amid Aleph. Yeah, Romy, why don't you just take us through the Mishnah quickly? Hashitven. Yeah, just translate this phrase, that phrase, Hashitven.
Okay, so two people want to build a mikveh in the chatzer, or whatever.
Yeah, of course, that's controversial, right? Because that's the whole sugya here turns on what that phrase means.
Right.
Right, so what are the two possibilities? Just adumbrate it for us.
So either you can say that they want to, meaning either they want to make a division and then they, you can force the other person to build a wall, or they want to, you could force, or, they, sorry, or two people agree to build a wall.
Yeah, so there are two possible ways of reading this line, and that's really like the semantic question about what this lasos mechitza means. Determines the legal question that's at the heart of the Gemara about Hezek Riya. So we're talking about partners. What kind of partners? Obviously, they're not business partners here. Rashi's very helpful. You have to get the reality on the ground here to know what's going on in the Mishnah. What are we talking about? What's the case? So the first Rashi on the Mishnah, Hashitfin. What kind of Shitfin, Romy? Tell us outside.
They basically share a chatzer, and meaning, or right, meaning either both their houses open to the same share a chatzer.
So the most important point is this first line, as you said, right? Sheyesh lan chatzer b'shutfos ubate shneim psuchim l'socho. So just get the picture in your head.
You can imagine each of you has
markers.
Yeah, I'm scared about the markers.
No, we're someone with those writing on it before you
know. And I'm scared to get the picture wrong.
I shouldn't be scared. Right, so the idea is, let's just imagine you have the paper. You have a common area, and let's say here's one bias, here's a second bias. So you have two villas, they open into a common courtyard, each has a nice little pool with a cliffside view of the Mediterranean. Okay? So this is the common space, right? Each side could use whatever space they want in here, let's say. And for whatever reason, things seem to go south, so they can no longer use this common space civilly. So they decide, you know, we each have a 50% equity in this space. Let's just precisify where our 50% equity lies. I'll take half, you take half, and we'll each go up a separate way. Everybody get that? Okay, so that's what the Mishnah is talking about. So we're taking a common space and making it into a private space. Now, the Mishnah very cryptically says you're going to build a wall in the middle. Right, and as Romy told us, it's not clear what the Mishnah is talking about. It's talking about a case where they agreed to both split the property and to build a wall. Just we don't know what type of wall they agreed to build, so then the law has to step in and say, oh, it's this type, it's a brick wall, it's a stone wall, it's that type of wall. Or is the idea they agreed to divide the property, and then the law automatically imposes the obligation to construct a wall. Yes? Romy, I got it right? Okay. So that's what's going on here. Let's just read the Gemara inside about the two ways of parsing the phrase lasos mechitza. So Romy, take us through the first day in the Gemara.
So through my mechitza, so what does mechitza mean? A wall.
Yeah, Rashi here helps us. Any of you knew that? Yeah, good. Guda means a kotel, so a wall. Any of you know that Guda meant a wall without looking at Rashi?
Not cheese.
What?
It's not cheese.
Right. Good. If you look at, I think, Rabbeinu Gershom here, he says kir. Same idea. Right?
So the idea is,
on this reading, Romy, what happens? So, shitfin shiratu lasos mechitza, what's the case?
That two people want to build a wall in the middle of their chatzer, and you can, meaning then, the, I mean, if you read the rest of the mission, you force them to build with a certain
Yeah, what kind? The Mishnah is just stepping in to tell us the materials of the wall. Exactly. You should know this happens all the time, right? You have like a legal dispute. People agree to something, and then there's a dispute as to what it is that they agree to. Right? So, hey, yeah, we said we'll build a divider. What kind of divider? Right? So, in the Bezin, this happens every day. What kind of divider? So then, you know, you have to step in. Well, oh, presumably a divider in this neighborhood means, like, something that looks like, you know, this, right? So, if you live in a fancy neighborhood, maybe a divider means, like, beautiful trimmings, right? Trees that divide the properties. If you live in parts of Queens now, maybe it means, like, a brick wall that's going to separate in between the two properties, right? So that's what, on this interpretation of my Mechitza Guda, that's what's going on in the Mishnah. In which case, as the Gemara itself infers, Romy, Taima Deratsu.
So, I mean, if, then, like, the implication is that the only reason they have to build the wall is because they agreed to it. They didn't agree that they don't have to, which implies there's no agreement.
Yeah, so just keeping with this image here, you know, there's a pool on each side. Each party could, you know, use their pool on their side, let's say. The only reason why there's an obligation to build the wall is because they had agreed to it by consent. But the halacha has no issue with one side seeing the other side swimming in their, you know, infinity pool with the view of the Mediterranean. Good? All right, so the diak here is taima deratsu ala ratsu in machaibana, so alma hezek ria lav shme hezek. The halacha is indifferent, or is at least not going to step in to require the privacy in between the two properties. And it's very medieval in the Mishnah, right? Hashutvin shiratsu lasos mechitza, bonin es hakos al bamsa, right? Only if they want to, shiratsu. If they wanted to build a wall, then we step in and we build a wall. Okay. That's all really straightforward. Correct? Okay. So now the Gemara steps in and poses the other possibility. Romi, the Ema Mechitza.
The Ema Mechitza Plukta. So maybe, you know, I would say that a Mechitza is just a division or a partition.
Yeah, a division, right? Or a partition. The word partition itself, in English at least, I think is ambiguous between a physical divider and, like, partitioning.
Right.
Meaning conceptually dividing up the space.
Right.
Any math? I know we have who's our math person here, right? Math partition, computer science, you do partitions?
Yeah.
You do, right? Yeah, so there it doesn't mean a wall, right? It's about how you, like, bundle up the numbers or something.
Sets.
Right. So that's plukta, right? Plukta in Aramaic has a similar connotation, right? Sometimes we say plag gufo elyon, like the upper part of the body. So plukta means like a part, right? So that's all nice in the Aramaic. What about the Hebrew, mechitza? Have any of you come across the usage of mechitza to connote or to denote division? What? Yeah, half.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's what the Gemara is trying to do here. The Gemara is saying, well, look, if you look in the Pesukim, in this, in Bamidbar, Lamed Aleph, you could kind of squeeze the meaning, or you could squeeze a part out of the word mechitza, right? I think that's what the Gemara is trying to do. So we get this pasuk in Bamidbar, Vati mechitza sa'eda minatzon. What's going on in that pasuk? Anybody look it up? What's going on there, Ned? What? Yeah, the division of spoils. What's the context there? Yeah. Good. After Mechemes Midyan. So, this, what's the pasuk here saying? Vati mechtas eda minatzon. Just translate it. Ned, yeah, roughly?
The part of the spoils that would be allocated towards the nation.
Right, the portion of spoils of tzon that went to the people was this number. Right? So, mechetzas in that pasuk does seem to connote part. And the Rishonim are quick to point out the Adar Ma, for example, right here on Daf Gimel, points out that Unkelos umitargeminan palgus kenishta, meaning the part of the Klal Yisrael, or the portion of Klal Yisrael from the Tzon. So, do you find that,
take your temperature, do you find that interpretation persuasive?
Sort of based on Tosla that you kind of did that. I found it's almost like no one actually thinks it's like very persuasive at all. They just kind of recognize that the Gemara itself kind of recognizes that they kind of eventually will want to say that has created Shmei Hezek. So they kind of like throw in this extra idea about somehow the pizza means the divine, not the wall, because
yeah,
they want to add something they say.
Exactly. I thought that was really interesting. I wouldn't have formulated it as extreme as you formulated it, but that's fine. I agree with your interpretation. It does seem like Tosos here is saying, look, when we talk about this, you know, just on the shot of the Gemara, everybody really agrees that the plain meaning of the Mishnah refers to a wall, right, a kosel or a kir. It's just that because there are all these kashas, these ishkama kushios, there are these problems with interpreting the Mishnah that way, maybe at least to like inelegant interpretations elsewhere. Lefichach, Kobe, you want to read this phrase? Yeah. Everywhere else in the Gemara, right, lefichach means the wall. But, you know, here the Mishnah will run into difficulties if we interpret it kipshuto. So that's why the Gemara is dochek lefarish, that it means a partition, right, a division of the property. Okay, so I thought that's just like a really interesting observation that Tosos makes. So we have these two different ways of reading it in the Mishnah. Rumi, back to you. If the Mishnah means shutfin sheratzu lasos mechitza in the division sense, right? So then, how do we get Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek?
Because then the way the Mishnah reads is, if they want to divide their land, then they need to force them to build a wall.
Yeah, so exactly. Shutfin that want to divide their property, then there's an obligation to build a wall b'amitza, right? Which means that it's the fact of dividing the property that generates the duty to build a wall. And as the Gemara infers, let's see. So Romy, take us back to here. Alma.
Alma Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek.
Right. So why is Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek? Because the halacha now cares that if each party is going to use their side for private things, then the halacha requires that they have privacy. Right. So each party could compel the other party to contribute to 50% of the wall. Right? Okay. Now, the Gemara says that what turns on this semantic difference between the two interpretations of Mechitza is whether Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek or Lav Shmei Hezek. The Gemara doesn't tell us yet what Hezek Riyah is. Right? But we just know from the meaning of the words that it means that one party is somehow harming the other party through seeing them. Right. Asfar, you have a question?
So the Gemara here with the link to Baal Korcho against his will in the singular, and Rashi makes explicit that
where are you?
Only where one party actually does
which line in the Gemara are you in?
Right where we were highlighted, right before that. So the Rashi bonus acusal Baal Korcho against his will implies that one party really wants privacy, the other party couldn't care less. And we're saying, okay, we force the recalcitrant party to contribute to the wall. And Rashi says as much in all the plays a few times.
Yeah.
Don't have the Luz of Hadar with me, but I believe also Hadar pointed out in the Gosset Siyun that there's actually a Girsa which has Baal Korcham.
Yeah.
Against their will.
Right.
Which is, might be shocking that, like, it's Halach is coming in and saying, yeah, even if neither of them have in mind that they necessarily feel strongly about a privacy wall,
we're going to step in here. Yeah, that's really interesting. We're going to talk about. So I want to make a note of that. Let me just add that. I don't know if I can't do it from here because I'm logged in through your access, right? Sorry. That's fine. I'll make a note of that. I just want to point out that's going to tie into a discussion that we're going to engage later on. just mentioned it very quickly, but we're not going to look into it yet. See, I wrote Adkan Lahayom on the source sheet. But if you later on, we're going to talk about this question, what if the minhag is to not care? Right, so like if you live in Manhattan, this might be a bad example for other reasons, but just assume it's a good example for now. Right, so everybody can see into everybody's windows at night. I don't know if you ever experienced this. Right, so just like shades are open, people do whatever they want in their homes, and just like nobody seems to care that like the neighbor could peer right into their window. So let's just say that the minhag is not to care about hezekiah. What happens then? So, Zachary, that's like the nafkamina to your case, right? Is it if one party is not faith, you can compel the other party to build a wall for privacy? Or is this like some objective public policy that the halacha cares about, independent of the will of the parties? Right, Zachary, that's your point?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just say this is a very interesting debate in the Rishonim here. If you look, for example, at this Shuvas HaRashba, here, this Rashba, Siman Reish Samaches, and this Yad Raman Daf Dalid, both talk about a minhag shalol livno sakosa. Like, what if you live in a place where there's a minhag not to do this? Does that vitiate the halachic obligation? Okay? So we'll come back to that later on. All right. Any comments so far? All this should be pretty straightforward. Thoughts, comments? Everyone good? Okay. So, immediately following this back and forth in the Gemara, so yeah, let me just say, the Gemara then, you know, poses some questions to both sides. The Gemara, you know, realizes that the interpretation saying that interpreting machitza as dividing the property is semantically inelegant, or more, I guess it's more syntactically inelegant, because it's saying a shiratzu lachzos. Why say shiratzu lachzos mechitza? Like, can make a division. You should just say if they want to divide. But then the Gemara points out that there's equal problems if you want to read it as talking about a wall. Oh, so elamai guda. But then it should say bonin osami baile. Why does the sentence restate the subject? Right? They agree to build a wall. Right? Then they should build the wall. It should just say they built it. So, the Gemara kind of goes back and forth on this issue. Okay, well, for our purposes, what's important is just the machlokas itself, but hezekiah shmei hezek or lav shmei hezek. It's a little frustrating that the Gemara itself doesn't tell us like what the significance of hezekiah is, like what is hezekiah. The Gemara seems to take it for granted that there's this concept of hezekiah, and then leaves it to the Rishonim to explicate that. Okay, so now on daf beis amid beis. Okay, so already done with the first amud of Bavasara. Look how fast we're moving. If we keep up this pace of an amud per 20 minutes, we'll cover the first three prakim without any problem. Okay, so on daf beis amud beis, the Gemara challenges this, right? So, let's see. Zolti, did you get to this part of the Gemara?
Sure. That would be a last minute.
So there are two ways to understand this. So how do you understand this objection, right? So the Gemara said, here's machlokas. Shmei hezek, lav shmei hezek. And the Gemara is like, what? Hezekiah, lav shmei hezek. Like, what do you mean, right? Like, of course hezekiah, shmei hezek. So how do you understand this? Like, what's this line doing here? Let me just...
As in the Gemara should use the attempts to count.
For sure. The Gemara is going to try to bring, you can see the simon here is helpful. Right, it's going to bring the case of Yina, the case of Kosel, the case of Kofin, the case of Chulkin, the case of Chalonos, the case of Rav Nachman, right? Six cases are going to all try to demonstrate that hezekiah is shmei hezek, correct? Now, the question that I just want you to think about for a second is, what is the Gemara doing with this phrase? Right? So obviously it's trying to support one side of the debate, right? The side that Shmei has it. But just think, zoom out for a second and try to tell us what are two ways of thinking about this line in the Gemara? Yeah?
I mean,
Remind me your first name.
Josh.
Josh.
And you can either say that it's legitimizing that Hezekiah is a thing, but just wants to say that it's not considered like the actual parameter of Hezekiah, or you could be saying that Hezekiah is just not really a thing.
So this is Hezekiah. Here the Gemara wants that Hezekiah is Shmei Hezek, right? So the Gemara wants to establish that Hezekiah certainly, to borrow your phrase, is a thing, right? The question is, how strongly is the Gemara trying to do that? Right, so just somebody help us out here. Yeah? Remind me your first name?
Benji.
Benji.
Yeah, I think it's trying to like remove it just from the being a reflection of not looking about how to understand Mechitza. And don't say that we don't understand, that if we understand Mechitza as just a, as a wall, then, like, Hezekiah doesn't exist. Because Hezekiah does exist.
Yeah, okay, so you're saying the Gemara is trying to point out that the halakhic basis for Hezekiah is not as tenuous as the Gemara makes it out to be, right? So doesn't all just depend on a forced interpretation of Mechitza. It's really well-founded by these other examples, right? Yeah, I think that's a good point. Romy?
Also, the question is how strong is the Gemara asking the question? Like, is it really saying, oh, we really think you're wrong to say that it's Lav Shmeizek, or is it just saying, like, oh, are we sure? And that's, like, support. Meaning, how much we actually... Are we in the challenges if we think that it's the wrong answer, or are we in the challenges to prove that it's right?
Say it a little too abstract for me. Say it a little more concretely.
I mean, when you say Hezek Rialashme, like Hezek Rialashme Hezek,
yeah.
Are you saying, like, all right, wait a minute, you really think that? Like, no, let me show you why you're wrong. Or are you saying, oh, it's Hezek Rialashme Hezek, we're going to bring a bunch of challenges to reject them to prove that it's right, that it really is Lashme Hezek?
I'm going to think more about that. I would put it differently. I would say, but this might be what you're saying, Romy. Tell me if I'm saying the same thing as you. Just when I read this line of the Gemara and I see the Gemara's answers, so it's not clear if the Gemara is trying to say, here's a machlokas, and now I'm going to prove to you that one side of the machlokas is correct. And these examples all show that one side is right. Right? So one view thinks Lav Shmei Hezek, I'm going to prove to you Shmei Hezek. Or is the Gemara saying, not that we're going to weigh in to adjudicate in favor of one view over the other, but rather to reassess the parameters of the dispute. Meaning, look, the way you presented it, you make it seem like there's a dispute about whether Hezekiah or Shmei has it. That's obviously not the case, because there are six examples that irrefutably show Shmei has it. Right? So, really what the Gemara is doing is showing that everybody's going to concede Shmei Hezek in certain cases, in these obvious cases, Bina, Kosel, Kofin, etc. And what you're calling a machlokas is really about a limited application of Hezekiah to a case of splitting the courtyard. So I see the meaning. The reason why it's important for us is because we want to know how wide is the logical space of halacha here regarding the dispute of Hezekiah. Meaning, is there a view out there that denies Hezekiah Shmei Hezek? In which case, the logical space is quite wide. Right? There's somebody out there who thinks that, just to borrow a phrase from yesterday's discussion, there's no privacy right in halacha. Hezekiah Lav Shmei Hezek. Right. You could look into your neighbor's windows. You could peer into his infinity pool while he's using it. None of that is legally actionable. And then, even after we get through these examples are simply supporting a view, maybe a popular view, that happens to think that privacy is a thing. Right? But it's important for us to know that there's somebody out there who denies that. That's one possibility. The other possibility is to say, no, what the Gemara here is doing is it's refocusing the parameters of the dispute such that everybody agrees that privacy is a thing. They're just arguing what we call Hezekiah Shmei Hezek Lav Shmei Hezek is about the application of the privacy right to a Chatzer HaShulchan. Good? Okay. Rami, I don't think that's what you're saying. It's a little different. Okay. Comments on that? Questions on that? Shmuel, sounds good? Yeah? Do you have a preferred view, or...? What?
Like all the
options. Both are good. Yeah. You don't have a strong view about which one's right. Okay. We'll have to keep our eyes open for it, for which one of these is right. Okay. Ned, you're good? Okay. So now the Gemara jumps into the substance of trying to substantiate the Hezekriya, the response to Hezekriya Lav Shmei Hezek, meaning I'm going to show you cases where Hezekriya Shmei Hezek. So let's talk about example number one, the case of Gina. Zolti, you're still on.
That's not in the Gina. That's then the Gina. So then it's that they asked, what about Gina, right?
So what's the story with Gina? So there's the Mishnah, going back to our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah say about Gina? I didn't put it on here. I think it's in our Mishnah, right? This is why you should bring a Gemara to Shir. I would have brought my Gemara. I have an excuse. I left my YUID in my suit pocket from yesterday. So I had to go to security to get a new one, and there's a whole balagan. But it doesn't matter. Go ahead, Zolti.
Alright,
so it's actually not clear, right? You see, that's why I was putting this Gemara in Daf Dalet here. You could just see it's
not so important, but the Gemara is actually not sure how to parse that phrase, right?
Well, that phrase is a problem.
Exactly. Can't begin a moment to know who like, is, does it mean that there's only a co-sell obligation for a Gina when it's customary? I think Masan Gemara is no. The Chains, who's going to buy it? Both Abai and Rabbi agree that Sam Gina requires a Geder. And the modifier of Masan Shinagu Ligar is Gohan Abeka, which we'll talk about later. So the important point of the Gemara and the Talib is just that both Amorim here agree that a Gina requires an offense.
So, coming back to the V'chein Begina proof, what does that show? V'chein Begina?
So the Begina is saying that that in such a case you would need to say that because you would have to build a wall.
Excellent. Yeah. So it seems like everybody agrees Hezekriya Shmei Hezek because there's an obligation for a neighbor to chip in for the wall around a Gina. So that establishes Shmei Hezek. Okay. And the Gemara has this answer. Yeah, it means prohibited for a person to stand in his near his friend's field, right? What's Bishashi or Medis Bekomasau?
That's when the grain is growing.
Yeah, when it's in its when it's ripe, when it's full, right? So, what does that show?
So it shows that there's like a different din that's really prohibiting. It's really requiring you to build a wall. It's not just din of Hezekriya. There's a different din. Yeah. A different factor.
Yeah, good. I'm not sure if it's a different din or a different factor. It's a good point. So what is this thing? What's this halacha that you're not allowed to stand at your friend's field? So Rashi says. Yeah. So we don't know all that much about Ayin Haras yet. Maybe we'll learn more about them as the semester goes on. But it sounds from Rashi, and based on the continuation of the Gemara, that, like Zolti's first formulation, that this is a non-Hezekriya consideration. Tell me if you guys agree with that. Because the point is that Gina Shiny, because Gina is not about Hezekriya, It's about this consideration of Rav, that if you see your friend's field in its fullness, in its maturity, let's just say for now you'll get jealous, and there's something about jealousy that's going to adversely impact your friend's fortune, that damages him, and that's the reason why you got to build a wall there, right? Not because of Hezek Riyashmeh Hezek. And the Gemara says, wait a second, Baha Bechin Katani, very nice diak that the Gemara has, meaning what?
Yeah, meaning what? That, what does the chin mean?
It means like it includes it, like it should be like an example of cases. So it's like, you know, like why?
What does the chin mean?
Therefore?
It could mean therefore and maybe like, but more precise.
In addition?
What?
In addition?
I would say, and similarly? Right, so the question is, and similarly, when the Mishnah says, similarly, a Gina requires a wall, that implies conceptual similarity, right? I think that's the idea that Gemara is making. So it's got to be the same halakhic reason for building a wall in a Chatzer is the reason for building a wall in a Gina. So whatever the reason for a Chatzer is, it's got back the same reason for Gina. So then the Gemara is saying, well, how can you then say that Gina is about Ayin Hara while Chatzer is about something else? Right? So Gemara's answer is no, the Bechin is modifying a different clause. It's modifying the type of wall, the type of construction. Good? Okay. So it's actually, I think from Rashi's reading, although it's not totally clear, I guess from the reading of the Gemara, it implies that the Mechayiv of Gina is not Mitam Hezekriya. Okay? And this consideration of Yadzikenu Ba'ayin Ra is a distinct halachic consideration. Kobi and Ariel? You guys, so Ariel and then Kobi, you guys have a different view of this, or?
Well, I was just, like, the whole idea of Ayin Ra,
Yeah, the Gemara itself doesn't say anything, right? The Gemara just says, Gina Shiny, because of Azlat Mam Sadek Bisadek Haver Bishashi Medes Bekomasa.
It seems the word Bechain would be saying that it already implied the first part of the Gemara is saying that we're going to draw a similarity in the reasoning between the Gina and the Chatzah.
Namely, Hezek Re'ia.
Meaning the Gemara is already going to be answer number two, whereas Hezek Re'ia being the same there and here.
The way I understood this is the Gemara says we're trying to substantiate Hezek Re'ia Lav Shmei Hezek. The Gemara says we're trying to substantiate Shmei Hezek. The proof case being Gina.
Yeah.
The Gemara says no, Gina is different. It's not about Hezek Re'ia, right? Gina shiny. Or let's say Gina is different. It's different from Chatzer,
okay.
Because Asalatam Lama B'Sadeh Chaver B'Shashi Emes B'Kamaseha. Right, meaning it's Ayin Hara, not Hezek Re'ia.
But then, what does Bechain mean?
So the Gemara is saying, wait a second. How could you say that Gina is not Hezek Re'ia? Bechain Katani, meaning it is because of Hezek Re'ia. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara's answer is, oh, Bechain is not talking about Gina. It's not talking about the conceptual basis for the Mechayev in both cases. It's just talking about the type of wall that has to be built.
So Bechain Yerbi is not similar.
What?
How would you translate the word Bechain?
And similarly for Agina, but not about the legal. It's not about the reason for building a wall.
Similar to Agina says.
Similar to a chutzner that the wall has to be brick, stone, etc. So too, when you build a wall for Agina. For the reason of Ayin Hara, it just mysteriously has the same types of requirements, right? Stone, brick, etc. Make sense? Yeah. Kobi, and then Nevit.
I thought it was conveying you that you guys still being, everyone's talking about Hezek Re'ia, which is Gina Shani. It's not saying like Shani that's not Hezek Re'ia, it's saying there's some other reason why Hezek Re'ia would apply here, but it wouldn't apply. In the case of a chatzer, and you have to kind of define what you think like Hezek Re'ia is at all to see why it would be different. So I was kind of thinking that like, if it's like assuming it's like a deviant and Zeekian kind of thing, so then the problem is like the loss of the ability to do something in your field. So in this case, Akina is different because if someone can seek into your field, you lose the ability to grow the crops you want to do there. And that the hesitry is not like the iron power is not the damage from the iron power is not the hesitry. It's the fact that because this iron power exists or whatever exists, I can no longer use my garden the way I want to use my garden.
So you're trying to read Hezagria back into
this whole
piece.
Yeah.
I just think that doesn't work well with the next line in the Gemara, right? The fact that the Gemara responds with this phrase implies that the prior phrase was creating a gap between the reason of Hezagria and the reason of.
Why is it similar?
So they're both Hezagria, but one's Hezagria of X and the other is Hezagria of Y.
Why would I think the answer is because still there's the real Guzzi that make them similar.
So what you gain by saying that is that Lo Yazikan Abayin Ra is a subset of Hezagria considerations.
So whatever, I don't think the Gosh should answer, but whatever, if that's what you wanted to say that Rial was saying, so fine, but whatever it is that it makes it us understand in Friend's field, if that's iron power, then fine, that is just a subset. It's not an iron power, it's a subset. It's that the fact that there's something that exists that negatively impacts my ability to use my field because you're standing there and you can see into it.
Yeah.
It's not that necessarily that iron power that we see whether it's like an actual damage. Whether it is or not, there's something that's preventing me from using my field how I want
to. Okay. So I think right now the difference between you and me is whether we're reading Rashi and this Rav, or Hunamar Rav, as raising a Hezagria type consideration. Correct?
Yeah.
Your view is that Gina has Hezagria based off of Rav, and the way I was reading Rashi is that it's not Hezagria, this is about Ayinara, separate issue, correct?
Yeah.
Good. I think this is the model which we show him, which we'll look at in the Miri Rambam issue right now. I just want to push back on your reading for a second. I'd want to know why the fact of Ayinara limit somebody's use of their property.
Well, that's why I wasn't so based on another point.
You're working within Rashi, or you're stepping out of Rashi?
I would say either way, it's as follows. But if you can say that I am power didn't have to do with the damage and actually doing damage, that means that in my
You gotta Google it. If you Google Ayin Hara, what they tell you is that you're being jealous of your friend's productivity. Adversely impacts his fortune. Right?
Okay. I don't know if that's the definition of iron power, because
Google it.
So whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm saying you have a different view about what INR is?
I'm saying it doesn't matter what INR is, whether it's an actual damaging force or it's it has to be some damaging force, which is what you just brought up, right? That's not an actual force. The point is that because something exists specifically by Gina, right, that will prevent me from using the land how I want to use the land, that's the iron. That's the.
So my question for you is, how do you know, what's your interpretation of Shalo Yazikena Bayin Hara, such that you could explain that it actually restricts the usage of land? Meaning, why does the fact that, so let's say I know somebody's going to see my property and say like, oh,
now I can't.
They have a rocking vegetable garden, right? Like, those tomatoes are awesome. I wish we grew tomatoes like the Rosenzweigs.
That's going to damage my field somehow.
But why is it restricting my use?
Because now I can't go to
there. Sure, I can.
No, it's going to be worse.
But I still could garden, right? It's not restricting my land use. Like, I'm free to use my land. It doesn't have a chilling effect on my use of land.
Sort of it does, because I'm not going to want to garden there anymore, because now you're going to damage my crops. I'm going to have to not garden there, or I'm going to have to build something myself.
This is an optimization problem, right? Are you better off not planting crops altogether, or planting crops and incurring the risk of Ayin Hara?
Well, the assumption is that they will be Ayn Hara. That's like the assumption I think that we're making.
Right, so Rashi says Ayn Hara, right? Ayn Ra, sorry.
Right, but meaning is like if I know that my god doesn't have a fencing on me, it's like 100% chance of me Ayn Hara god. That's like the assumption.
Okay, so you're saying you're better off not planting at all?
Or I'm gonna have to build something to protect the fence around it to stop people from seeing it, but something's gonna happen when I'm putting clearly lost. And like you talk about the optimization, right? So like the opportunity cost is gonna go up for planting there, so that pays out the loss.
But how is that Hezek or right? So I thought you were saying that Hezek. You were staking your position on the notion that Hezek Ria is that it limits your use of your property, right? Like, as in, you'll be less willing to make maximal use of your property now.
Yes.
I'm just saying, it's not obvious to me that because I'm aware of the Hezek Ria risks, that now I'm not going to make use of my property. Right?
No matter what you can't make use of. When you said you're aware of the risks, by Gina, I would assumption, especially because the Miri talks about how like, it's close by. And, like,
does everybody see the back and forth here? Is that, yeah, does everybody have a sense?
No.
Who's on my side and who's on, raise your hand if you're on my side. Who's on Kobe's side?
Yes.
Ooh, Ariel's on your side. Shmuel's a little bit on your side. Okay, so go on, carry on.
When you say risks, it's not going to call them just risks because it's like 100% chance. So like,
I don't know if Ayn Hara is 100% chance. I mean,
that's why that's what the difference between Dina and Yuga. No, but the point is that Dina is like, like Tosfa talks about. Like,
it's 100% chance?
I mean, he talks about like Dina is like close by. And close
but that means it's 100% chance of. So I think that just means that there's 100% chance of an Ayn Hara being created. I think that's different from saying that. Once an Ayn Hara is created, there's 100% chance that the Ayn Hara deleteriously affects the outcome of the crops.
That is the assumption I was operating on. Because if you're going to talk like Ayn Hara, like an Ezekiel kind of thing, which is what we're doing here, then you can't.
So you have like 100% confidence in.
Yeah, like, you can't say it's sometimes good and then it's something. It's more like you can't say normal Ezekiel. You know, like sometimes.
No, what if they don't talk about it? What if they don't get jealous?
But I think even if they do get jealous, right, it's still not 100% probability that the crop's going to be diminished because of it.
I was assuming it was.
Right.
But that's also why I'm not like married to Rashi's position here. I think just read without Rashi.
Okay. Yeah. So good. So let's look at the back and forth in the Miuri for a second to try to get a hand on this. So who saw the Miuri? Ezra, you saw the Miuri? Great, so we want to tell us what's going on here? Well, take us through this Miri here on Daf Beis, Bechem Begina. Sorry. You can take us through what part that you find is important.
He basically... Well, first of all, he expands definition a lot.
Well, let's say the beginning of just the first part here.
First part is defining what Gina is.
Right.
And saying, like, literal Gina, just fruits and vegetables. And then he starts talking about all these other things. Which I think is some sort of 38 field.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later on. We'll talk about a Bika and a Stad de Laban.
He goes, no, as a Freya, they are they all, they've got no real dinner. Fundamentally different from human case. This part, I think, we're a little not certain of it. Miri then seems to have an issue with that. Says, some Gina.
Well, let's look at this part for a second, right? So, Davar Zeh, talking about a Bika and a Gina. Let's focus on the Gina part. This is an important point we'll talk about more later. How tall the wall has to be is like an indicator of whether it's Hezekriya or not. So Miri says Gina has to be Arba Amos because Gina is Mishim Hezekriya. So you just have Miri on paper saying that Gina is Mishim Hezekriya, right? And so the Rambam says it's only 10 tefachim, which implies that it's not really Hezekriya. And here the Miri just says Behutema, right? But he does say, that's because he thinks that the Rambam seems to think it's not because of Hezekiah, and he's more clear about this in the piece on Beis and the Beis. He says, Yesh lefarish, gina shiny, she'ein sham hezek re'ia levad, ela hezek mamon mitzad ayin hara. So the mirror here is very clear, Ezra, that what? Whoops.
Things.
My bad.
That ayin hara is not really Hezekiah at all. Entirely separate.
No, it's not what he says. That it's not exclusively Hezekiah. Right, Gina Shiny Shein Shem Hezekiah Levad. It's not solely Hezekiah. Ella Hezek Mamon Mitzad Ayin Hara. Meaning, the issue in Gina is overdetermined. There's both a Hezekiah consideration plus the Ayin Hara consideration. And notice, and Romy, you want to say something? Just notice that he seems to conceptualize Hezek Mamon as distinct from Hezekiah. Right? So Gina is not just Hezekiah, it's also Hezek Mamon, the Hezek Mamon being linked with Ayin Hara, not with Hezekiah. So just notice that. That's like an interesting point that we were trying to figure out later on. What is Hezekiah? Is it Hezek Mamon? Hezek Mamon? And here the is on paper saying that, implying that Hezekiah is not Hezek Mamon, Ayin Hara, which is a distinct halachic consideration, is mitam Hezek Mamon. And then he says, again, he cites that Gemara. Why is there a chiyuv for a wall in a gina? Blah blah blah. So he cites that Memra. People are always looking at it, says Ayin Hara. The Yeshkan Hezek Mamon, based off the Ayin Hara, Hezek Ria below Hezek Mamon, lo Nemar Begina. Right? But like, just Hezek Ria, as distinct from this Ayin Hara thing, that we don't find Begina. Let's see, Ha Hezek Ria below Hezek Mamon. Right. So like, pure Hezek Ria, without Hezek Mamon, meaning Hezekiah decoupled from Hezek Mamon, we don't find. So there's no clear evidence that Hezekiah is a sufficient halachic consideration to be mechayev a wall. Because right? The Gina case can be explained by the Ayin Hara factor. Okay? But then he says, sorry, yeah, Rome, you had a comment.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you can't leave that line. Meaning it's not just Hezek Ria, it's Hezek Mamon.
That it's a more powerful Hezek Ria?
Meaning that almost like there's different kinds of Hezek and the lower level like Hezek Ria, and it's like don't think it's Hezek Ria, it's Hezek Mamon.
You want to read it as a subset of Hezekiah, like Kobe.
No. Yeah. I mean, I want to say that the case of Gina is not because Hezekiah, it's
Hezekiah. Right.
And there's no
Hezekiah
involved.
Right.
Not there's Hezekiah and Hezekiah.
That's how you want to read the Miri.
That's how I
read
it.
Yeah. Let's see.
It says Levad, though.
Right.
Hezekiah
Levad. Shiny Ancient Hezekiah Levad.
Right. Well, that's why I thought it was, it's not only. Meaning, it's not, don't think it's just Hezekiah. It's not like
Ria
Levad. It's.
You can come to that. How do you have to say Levad?
It's interesting. It's an interesting read. I mean, you want to say, if I understand correctly, that.
And then I would do the last line just the way that it sounds.
It's not, meaning you're saying Levad and the colloquial, like, merely.
Right.
Right. It's not merely Hezekiah. This is bona fide Nezek. It's like real Nezek.
Right.
And I'm reading it as, like, it's not exclusively Hezekiah, because it's additionally real Nezek.
Yeah, and then the last line of the paragraph.
We have to get back in like 12th century Levant. Like, what did that word in like Provence mean to them? Like, how do you like idiomatically? What did that mean?
But if you read that
will
last,
be the
what?
That will be the
one. If you read the last line there, Vieshkan has agreed. Oh, sorry.
Right, Vieshkan has. That's how you want to read it. Hazakriya, meaning this notion of like mere hazakriya. That
the idea that it's just hazakriya is not true. It's actual hazakriya.
Right, and the way I'm reading it is hazakriya uncoupled from. Hazak Mamon you don't find in the Gina case. Yeah, it's really so now where I thought the Miri was going to help solve this issue, there's really two ways of reading the Miri's position here, right? Who agrees with, you agree with Romy's reading?
No, I don't agree. I think it's much of the parts of the Miri where he makes it clear that it's kind of nascaminas between the damages caused by Kayan Hara, the next paragraph.
Yes, one
read from Hazakriya. Hazakriya seems to be any sort of things that'll invade the privacy, limit activity. Whereas Ayanhara is singular focused gazing, and therefore just having like a 10 tefach high wall would be enough just to provide people a reminder, hey, don't, you know, Ayanhara up my field, like that's enough.
Yeah.
For Hazakriya, every degree you need Dalai. So
right.
these are not subsets of each other.
Yeah, right. So I think Romy, what? Because I think your reading assumes that there's like these, Hezekriya, which is a subset of like lighter Nezek, and then there's like real Nezek.
Well, I would actually just attribute.
But one second. Whereas I think Zakaria is saying, if you appreciate this next paragraph in Miri, he's saying it's not what my father would call a linear hierarchy, right? Where you move up, like one's a light beep, the other one's a strong beep, right? Miri's saying the Mechayev of Hezekriya is just conceptually distinct and independent of the Mechayev of Ayin Hara, right? So
yeah, I would just attribute that to the fact that I would think of Miri just giving like recognition to the idea that Hezekriya just seems you're saying gradation. So
I want to say even further than what I just said, because I think it's actually worse for your case. I think your position assumes actually not just what Zakaria said, that one's like a subset of the other, but actually your position assumes that Hezekriya is more kal than Ayin Hara. Right, and the Levad connoting, it's not merely Hezekriya. But I think the Miri's point actually is to say the opposite. Hezekriya is like maybe even like Nezek Hakuf or something more, and Hezek Mamon is meant to connote something Kal, right? And as evidenced by the fact, maybe I'm wrong, but as evidenced by the fact that the remedy to solve Ayin Hara is more Kal than the remedy to solve Hezekriya.
Yeah.
Right? Because the remedy to, in this line, it's hard to tell us about that line.
Yes.
That Miri's telling us.
Me'afa Shekain, Kushishan Sartofen, Nizkarhu, Ve'ena Maspin Re'ia, Ancha Yikra Omer Aleha. So he's not going to be gazing at it so much that I'll end up standing over the prompt. Shane has
a kind of by Nizkar, who I was wondering about this. Does he just mean that it's like a reminder?
Yeah, for the master.
So you read that as meaning, does anybody see
it? Right, so the problem actually isn't gazing at it. The problem is only, if you look back in the bar, it's actually only
all the
right. And standing right over it.
So like, the idea is like, if there's like a little fence, you realize this is like, I shouldn't be looking, or something like that.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it's like a gear stitch, you say Nishmar, who? I don't know, nobody saw that in the Miri. No. So Nizkarhu, so he'll be reminded, and he's not going to gaze at it, right? And that solves, there's no Ayin Hara anymore, right? Because then you've got to have this, like, frequency or...
Right. it's
permanence.
I mean, there's a bigger topic also, like what response when there's these Mizak and Mizak cases, who's responsible for protecting himself? Here we're saying the Mizak has to build his fence to stop people from gazing, but this Ayin Hara, Gep Mazik, has to himself remind himself not to, to remind himself not to gaze.
Right.
So it's not actually preventing the Nezik, it's just, you know.
Right, right.
Maybe the Mizak is preventing, because he's not being like showy, he's trying to.
Right. Right. So I thought this shows that this to get rid of Ayin Hara is more kal, right? All you need is this 10 tefachim divider. That's enough to block people from talking about it. It's not as consistent. But fine. Romy, you wanted to respond though?
Yeah, I'm not sure that means it means more kal. It just means it's a different.
Yeah.
I don't think that has Hezekriya, I didn't mean like there's gradations, and if you violate normal nether, then you cross the point of Hezekriya, because that obviously doesn't work for basically everything. I would just say that there are different kinds of nezek, and you do certain things, it's real nezek, I mean, you know, nezek mamon, and other things that Hezekriya. And the reason that he says levad, I think, is just like, there's a sense that it's like, I'm just living in your problem, it's not the same thing. Not... It's just like a lower level, and you cross it, and then you get real.
I hear your position. Okay, so I think we have some things unresolved in this Miri. I think we need to think about this a little more based off this back and forth here with Kobe and with Romy. Just what we want to get clarity on is to think a little deeper about the relationship between Ayin Hara and Hezekriya. I'm just wondering if the Meiri himself earlier was a little more explicit. So he himself thought, "Far biarnu sheagina yeshba hezekriya, v'shegdol yamachabrim nira daitam she'ein begina hezekriya." So let's give a little more thought. We'll come back to this issue. According to the Maskana of the Gemara, is gina supposed and the consideration of huna amarav? Ayin Hara, at least according to Rashi's read and the Miri's read, is that explicating a dimension of Hezekriya or something distinct from it? Okay, then we want to just figure out what's going on here in the Meiri about the view that he's taking, at least for the Rambam's position. Okay, any just closing thoughts on the Meiri? Let's take, remind me your first name again?
Josh.
We'll take Josh, Ned, and Ariel. Okay, and then we'll move on.
I just want to say that based on that line, we highlight especially, I think that the Meiri just thinks Hezekriya is defined by making sure the other guy can't get the maximum amount of like his money's worth out of the property, whereas Hezekmamon is literally like, lighting a fire to the field or something. And from the fact that you need to do a bigger wall just to...
Well, note, I think it's clear that Hezekmamon...
Is that would be the Ayin Hara.
Ayin Hara is
Hezekmamon. Like setting fire to the field by like looking at it or something.
I don't think the Meiri is thinking in terms of setting fire. I think the Meiri himself actually says that people are talking about it, right?
He's no, no, but I just think he thinks that Ayin Hara, in effect, at the end of the day, is similar to just going toward the crops and start messing them up because they're not going to be as good.
You're with Kobe on like this direct damage of Ayin Hara's?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why he's saying like Hezek Mamon, like as opposed to like not being able to like go in your pool and speedo or something.
I think we have to look deeper into what the Ayin Hara connotes for these different shonen. I'd be surprised if the Meiri was on board for that. So let's stay tuned for more on the Ayin Hara dimension. Okay, Ned and then Ariel. I think the Gemara here in this Tashma, so the Tashma is brought by the Mandam, or Shmei has it. Right? So then the Gemara says, Lav Dafka, maybe Lav Shmei, the way I understand this, maybe it's either Lav Shmei Hezek, and it's just Ayin Hara, or it's a special case, according to Kobe's reading, or it's a special case of Shmei Hezek, because of. So then the Gemara says, V'chein katani, how could you say that gina is a special case? It's the same thing, because the word v'chein means... Correct. Correct. And then Nigmar then rejects that by saying, the V'chein is modifying the type of wall, not the conceptual relationship of Gina and Chatzer. Okay. Ariel?
Safari had mentioned that there's a possibility maybe that the case of Gina is less commoner than the case of Isaac Padilla, because it's going to tense up and it's not going to be full out. But then the end of the first paragraph of the second year, it says, Ishkan is among the Isaac Padilla, below Isaac Mama, Mo, down by Gina. It still seems to be saying...
Where are you? In the second paragraph?
The second period, the end of the first paragraph.
Okay.
Is it said, the way I read the period, it seems to be saying that there still is a case of Isaac in this case, which is the same as the complaints. Is it saying that there's no Isaac in this case at all, and it's just Isaac Mama? Because it still says... I mean, it's saying you can't have Isaac in this case without Isaac Mama, but it's still saying that it doesn't say there's no Isaac there.
No, I agree. Who's explaining the Rambam, who seems to think there's only Hasek Mamon, not Hasbariyah. For that Shita, it's just a Tenfah. You're right, the Miri himself thinks...
Right, that's Miri's own position, is that there is Hasbariyah in Gina. This analysis here is Gedolei Mechabrim, to make sense of the Rambam's position.
So according to the Rambam, it says the Tenfah, and either has some other explanation that Hasbariyah could be more vague than the type of Hasbariyah, or
Ayin Hara is something totally separate. Correct. Yeah, just to be explicit about that, the Meiri himself, in this long paragraph here, takes the position that Gina has Hezekriya. So he says, as V'davar zeh, af hu nemar mishim Hezekriya, k'mosh amar v'chein b'gina, so the Meiri likes that diak, umayata af hu kofeyo b'gova arba amos. Because it's Hezekriya, so the coastal has to be built four amos high. The Gdolei HaMechabrim Kostav She'in Kofen Osel Basar Tfachim. Right? V'hu Tema. So you see the Miri is upset with the Rambam. Then he summarizes and he says, Kfar B'yanur Shagina Yesh BaHezekriya V'she Gdolei HaMechabrim Nira She'daitam She'in Begina Hezekriya. Or like the Rambam has the view that there's no Hezekriya. And he's inferring that from the Rambam's 10 Tefachim requirement. Good?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So let's move on now. So that's the Gina case. Two different ways of understanding the Gina case. Again, those two different ways take two different positions, I think, on the central question that we posed about what the Gemara is trying to do at this stage. Right? Because... is the Gemara saying everybody agrees Hezekriya Shmei Hezek in the case of Gina? Right? Which means that the logical space is a little more narrow. Right? There's no one who denies Hezekriya Shmei Hezek altogether. That would be like the Yuri's own view, that in the case of Gina, Hezekriya Shmei Hezek. Or are we saying at this stage that Gina is not Hezekriya? Right? Dina is just Ayin Hara, which is a different breed, in which case the logical space is at least wide enough to contain a view denying Hezekriya altogether. Everybody see that? Yeah? Questions on that? Ned?
I thought the Igri was presenting, trying to solve a conceptual problem for the Gedolei HaMechabrim. That was still cheating.
Right. His own shita is that Gina is Hezekriya. Right? That's his own shita here. Kvar b'yarnu shagina yeshba Hezekriya. And then he says earlier here also, when he talks about Gina, blah, blah, blah. V'davar zeh afhu nemar mishim Hezekriya k'mosh amar v'chein b'gina. U'miyata afhu kofeya b'gova arba amos. Right, so the Meiri's view is that Gina is clearly a Hezekriya. Chiyuv.
But he would read the Rambam as holding that as well.
He's reading the Rambam as denying that Gina is Mitam Hezekriya.
So when he presents this to two levels, or not levels, two ideas, Hezekriya versus Hezek, coupled with Hezek Ayinara, so he must read Rambam as holding Hezekriya as well.
So, depending on exactly how you read this, my preferred reading is that he wants to read the Rambam as acknowledging that it's not exclusively Hezekiah, meaning bringing the Rambam into his own camp, right? But I don't want to impose the Meiri's way of trying to reconcile the Rambam with the Shakavataria, with just the pure Rambam's position that at least appears to deny Hezekiah and Gina altogether. You see that, Ned? Yeah. Zil, do you have a question before we go on?
Yeah, how would you read the end of that section of the Gemara according to Meir, like the Chaim's time? How would you understand that?
So, the line that the Gemara's Maskana that's going on Gevil and does this?
Honestly, even like before, like I don't understand how Meir would read the Gemara totally, like it's like the close of the Gemara. Like you might supposed to try. Like what is the Gemara trying to do then if they're not refuting the idea of
So I think the Miri would say, Gina Shiny, not as we read it initially, that Hezek Re'ia Lav Shmei Hezek, but there's an Ayin Hara consideration. Rather, Gina Shiny, it's a case of Hezekiah that everybody would concede. Why? Because Asul Adam Laman B'Sadeh Chaver B'Shashi Amedes B'Komase somehow makes the Hezekiah more egregious. Right? I think Kobe was saying something along those lines earlier. So, Ayin Hara then is a subset of Hezekiah considerations.
Therefore, we're trying to reject the idea that
Ayin Hara
is not something like.
So, which part? The Chain Katani part, or?
I don't fully understand. Like, so, what's the thing rejecting what? Like, by making that statement from her off, rejecting the notion that.
It's rejecting. So, this is trying to show that. In the case of Chatzer, there's a machlokas at Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek or Lav Shmei Hezek. But in the case of Gina, everyone will concede Shmei Hezek. You see that? So it's just, on that reading, it's just trying to limit the parameters of the dispute of Shmei Hezek, Lav Shmei Hezek. Okay, and then the Chinkatani means like, no, the Mishnah makes it seem like whatever you hold by Chatzer, you hold by Gina. Right. And they're saying not true. That just means the type of law. I think that's the way to read it. It's not so complicated, right? So when you just think about it, really the issue is the Gemara has debate, Hezek, Shmei Hezek, Lav Shmei Hezek. The Gemara says one possibility is I'll prove to you Shmei Hezek, or the other possibility is I'll prove to you that in certain cases everybody agrees Shmei Hezek. Right, and then the Gina proof is doing one of those two things. Either it's showing you the Gina case is trying to say maybe. So the Gina proof is trying to do one of those two things. The rejection of the Gina proof is either saying Gina is not a Hezekiah issue, it's Ayin Hara, or it's saying Ayin Hara itself is a Hezekiah issue, but it's a special case of Hezekiah that everything. Everybody with me? Questions on what's going on here? Okay. So let's look at the next case of the Gemara. Just so we all have traction on the main exceptions. So Ayin Hara is one case that has to be dealt with. And we're a little unsure about its relationship with Hezekiah. Koser Chatzer Shenafal. So what's this case? Ezra, you want to take us through this case? Tashma.
You have a wall falls down, you have to build it back up. And we say.
So, what does that show?
In theory, that should show Hezekiah really is Hezek because we built the wall.
Yeah, up to four almost even, right? Which is to prevent Hezekiah.
Yeah.
Simar says.
No, that's different. Which?
Nothal shiny, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's Nothal shiny?
As for Rashi, it's.
So remember, so just to frame it against our background question, is the Gemara saying, is the Gemara trying to show here that this is a case of hezekriya that everybody agrees to, or that this is a fee of kosel distinct from. Distinct from hezekriya. Exactly. Like we saw the two different ways of understanding on Gemara. So what's going on here? Rashi says
That it has nothing to do with hezekriya. It's just a din of the original agreement to build the wall is still in place. Even if the wall itself may not exist, so if it was created by that original agreement,
excellent.
You have a wall present.
That's right. So on Rashi's reading, the kosel chatzar shenafal has nothing to do with hezekriya. It's that once you agreed to build a wall, the existence of the persistence of the physical wall doesn't undercut the legal right to have a wall there. Okay? Kobe, you have a question on this?
Yeah, I think it's the hezekriya. Just because something fell down, just because you guys both wanted a wall at one point, I understand there has to be some other reason that would force me to have to rebuild this wall. So I agreed at one point, why do I have to do it now? And I would say that reason is
maybe there's a way to bring Rashi into Tosa's camp. I think that requires like some, you know, finessing, as you were just saying.
Well, I just understand why. Just because
when I read this Rashi, it sounds like the thing that's doing the substantive force, like the heavy lifting for Rashi, is the fact of the agreement. Shekvar nisratza rishona
b'kosel.
Yeah,
but the point is. Because they did that, now they have hezekriya problems. Meaning,
it's what we say is ikar chaser min hasefer, right? I mean, like, that's your addition. Rashi says because they agreed.
But what's the agreed one?
I don't need Rashi to tell me things that are irrelevant, right? And like Rashi didn't even say what you said. Oh, like now Burgul, exactly what Tosa says, right?
It was by agreeing that they created this hezekriya problem. Why do I care whether or not they agreed? Why does that matter?
Let's say they never agreed. Let's say there just was a wall, right? So there would be hergulu even without agreement.
Right? Let's say they inherited a wall or something, right?
I would actually say the opposite. I would say, why did they agree? Like, let's say they only agreed because you had a dog and your dog kept running into my cluster.
Yeah.
So now I've got a thing. Now, also, your dog is dead. So they're like, oh.
Or what if they were never...
But your point is a better one.
Yeah, or what about if... What if Lo
Hergulu?
Let's say the guy never used his backyard. Right? I'm saying there's a wall there, he just never used his backyard, right? So, all Rashi tells us is that Karn is Rashi or Rishon, there was like some agreement, as Ezra said. Right? That seems to be doing the substantive work. You want to read Tosa's bag into Rashi. I'm just saying that I agree that you could do that, I just don't see anything in Rashi to support that. Right? So I think my reading of Rashi is really that it's, as Ezra said, it's the fact of the agreement that supports the right to have a wall. Tosas disagrees. So Ezra, what does Tosas say? Nachal Shaini?
Tosas says,
Shehurgulu lasos davar.
It's a question of snake that people that it's like a head trouble thing. Like sort of this like expectation of now that the wall exists, more privacy, sort of what I think that would say.
Yeah, meaning people become used to behaving a certain way in their backyard, right? So once they become used to a certain type of conduct, it seems like there's now, you want to say hezekriya, right? I would say, certainly tznia seems to factor in, right? So privacy, people begin to do private things, and so the halakha wants to retain that privacy, right? So, what's that?
I don't know if that's necessarily hezekriya.
Yeah, good point. We don't know explicitly that it's hezekriya. I would just point out, Tosos, the Meiri here, Koser Chatzal Shenafal in Kovenos Zezel of Nosak Shaisel Elad Arba Amos, Levad Shehu Siluk Hezekriya. So the Meiri here actually is quite consistent in holding that the building of this wall is mitam hezegriya, lemaskana. You see that? So let's just work with Tosos's explanation for a second. So people get used to doing private things there, and that supports the halachic obligation for a wall. So how do you understand this, Tosos?
I think what he's arguing is, like, let's say the chutzner is worth $100 without a wall, and when you put in a wall there, I think he's saying from the fact that you're able to do private things, now your chutzner is worth $110, and the halacha recognizes that, and now your chutzner is worth $110, and you're allowed to get $110 worth. So if you get rid of the wall, now you just lost $10 of value that you are owed.
Good. So one way of looking at this is like a value thing, and the value is just tethered to use, right? So the more use you can get out of it, the more valuable it is, and hezegriya is about preserving the value, right? That's one way, I think, of thinking about this. I would say another way of thinking about this is more about, not about the value of the property, but in terms of, like, sneas, almost in a iser sense, right? It's like you have a right to have privacy from the peering eyes of your neighbor, right? Not because of the value of the field per se, but some interest in, like, having the privacy on its own. So we'll have to figure out what that is. This is the first source we've seen that injects this notion of tznius, or privacy. Horgulu lasos davar hatzina. We'll see the Gemara has it a little later on. But yes, Tosos doesn't really explicate exactly why this translates into a legal right. Shmuel, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think we shouldn't lose sort of the fact of Arbanamos that supports COVID because we're...
Within Rashi.
Correct, within Rashi. For Tosos and Miri, it's like obvious why Arbanamos because privacy all goes. I think if you try to read that with Rashi, like why Arbanamos, there could be a lot of reasons you need a wall, but
yeah, that's interesting. I was going to say it's a bit of a problem for Rashi's reading. Like, why Dalet Amos if it's just Nisratzu or Rishonim? But you could say that it's, you know, even if the wall was higher, right? So, the Yosef Dalet Amos in Machayim and Osa, Apokisha Rishon had to go to Yosef and Machayim. So the idea is to take Ezra's example. You agree to build a wall. And then you build a wall that's 10 amos tall. It's an open legal question whether we interpret the legal agreement in light of the later performance of building a 10 amos wall. Right? So Shmuel and I agree we're going to build a wall between our properties. We sign a document that says this. It's ambiguous there how tall the wall should be. Then we hire a contractor who builds a 10 amos wall. Rashi's saying when Ezra tells us that the legal right to a wall persists after the physical wall falls down, that doesn't entitle you to the post-contract performance of a 10-amos wall. It only entitles you to the best legal interpretation of a wall, and a stam wall is Dalet Amos. So I think there's a way for Rashi to make sense of the Dalet Amos thing without having to read Rashi as a hezegriya consideration. Yeah. Yeah.
According to your reading of Tosos, that it's about like a right to privacy and stuff.
Well, yeah, my tentative suggestion, yeah.
Suggestion. So why would it be that it's because he had the wall before? Like, meaning, because at what point he had the right to privacy?
So that's easy because the low bindu desires that if you never had the luxury of privacy, then you don't do those types of things in your... Right, so like if you never had a private wall, then you don't go into your
right
infinity pool without a bathing suit on.
But why is it that since at one point you were able to do that, that gives you the right to like continue?
Well, you know,
I
think it's just even a habit, right? Like how people form habits, and then it's hard to undo habits once they're formed. So the law is okay saying, okay, don't do private things in your courtyard. But it's not okay with you doing private things under the peering eyes of your neighbor. That's that. Romy and then Ned.
You could also say it's like about
like spaces. Like once you define this space as a private space, that's problematic. Kind of like if you have a bedroom and then someone tears down the wall to your bedroom, the fact you can't, you wouldn't say like, oh, who cares if you're used to it? You can't like, well, no, that's a space where you do private things. So now it is a little unlucky. You want to establish a space like that. Not just that, like you had a habit to do it here.
Interesting. So you want to go for a more formal interpretation. It's like being mafgir is like a chalos of a private space.
Yeah.
And once it's defined as a private space, then it triggers the hezekriya.
I will, yeah. I mean, I'll admit that like the shavurvulu part
yeah.
of it kind of put it back against that.
Velo limdu li zaher zemizah. I wonder what that means, actually. Now that you asked, do you
think that part of the element? I don't know if this is true, first of all.
All right, I think we could ignore it safely, especially if they told us to ignore it. Yeah. They'll send a security guard in if they think it's real. What? Do you smell the smoke?
That's right, the window.
It's the second floor, yeah.
But yeah, we have masks, now we have masks. When we flew to Greece, there was an announcement on the plane that said, if the oxygen masks come down, remove your COVID mask first before you put on the oxygen mask. So actually, now that Romy makes this comment and I look back at Tulsos, I'm wondering if you can read Tulsos differently. So, what triggers the feat of Kosel? So, A, Horgulu Lasos Davar Hatsina, let's call it Davar Hatsina. Okay. So they got used to doing private things. And velo limdu li zayir zemizah. So what's the second phrase doing? Lo limdu li zemizah. So is that saying that suppose you have this thing, right? So you have this resort, or you have this condo, whatever it is. You have the little pools. Now, if there's no wall, but limdu lizayir zemizah, so they kind of know. One person is a morning person, the other person is a night person, so that you reach this like equilibrium where people are doing dvarim hatsnuim in the chatzer, but nobody is peering at the other one because one guy's out at work at night, the other one's out at work during the day. Because that's limdu lizayir zemizah. They kind of know the other person's timings. So does that obviate the kosel requirement? Sounds like it from Tosos, right? Because why else would he throw in the limdu lizayir zemizah? That sounds like that's sufficient to solve whatever hezekriya problem there is. What do you think? So, Romy, the reason why I'm raising this, I think it takes a stance on like your point about is it as like a makom?
Right, it's against something.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like we're indifferent to the havidara of the makom as a private place, and more just about regulating the private use, right, or ensuring the privacy of each party. If you could do that without a kosel, that's fine too. Right. But the concern here is that lo lim du li zayir zemizah. Zoldi, you have a...
Yeah, it seems
like it's
all about like, the quality of life, you know, which is what I guess...
Yeah, quality. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, that's nothing those terms specifies an action plus being quality of life, which goes against what the
movie. Yeah. And actually, when you use that phrase, I'm actually interested in pushing a little further on that. So, let's say... there was a suggestion before that this is more about optimizing use of your property, right? So, like, the concern is that hezekriya diminishes your enjoyment and use because you're going to use it less, right? And I was pushing back and saying, well, maybe it's more about this objective concern of privacy rather than maximal use of your land. Is there basically a difference between those two suggestions, at least tentatively? You might think that limdu lizayir zemizah is an afkamina, because to my mind, that's not optimal use of your land. right? It means you're only going to get to use your land during half the day, right? But we're not encroaching on any like privacy violation issues because you've reached an equilibrium where you don't do private things when the other person's around. So I think Lin Dun desires ending that might be interesting to Akimina about what's the underlying concern of Hasegurita. Right? So if it's about maximizing the use of land, we want to give each party full use, then I don't think Lin Dun Lizar's emizah should be a relevant consideration, arguably. Unless you want to go to something like Zakaria was saying, where it's all about Hila, in that case. Right? If they reach an implicit equilibrium, then we just assume they're not mocking. But that's controversial because we don't know whether you could waive Hezekiah. Okay, so we have a little more to talk about. We're not going to talk about it now. We actually covered what I want to cover in these two examples. What did we get through? Three pages of the source sheet, 2.5? I can't tell you where the page breakers are. So on Sunday, we'll pick up with the other cases of Hezekiah the Rabim. I'll add a little more Makoros that I want to consider. But think along these lines in the Makoros sheet as you go through the next examples. Then we'll get a little deeper into just probing by Hezekiah. All right, shout out, guys.